This week, the National Geographic special Radio Expeditions has been reporting on the Terai Ark project in the lowland region of Nepal. It's a plan to create a wildlife corridor of forests and grasslands stretching all the way across the country, linking national parks. If this massive rewilding program succeeds, humans and big fierce animals will be brought closer together, which could be a problem if it leads to more poaching or more man-eating tigers. The final story from the Terai Ark examines the links between these problems and some possible solutions, NPR's John Nielsen reports.
What does it feel like to be alone in the forest in the middle of the night and realize a tiger is behind you? Chuck McDougall, a tiger expert living in Nepal, says it feels like this.
All of a sudden, I registered something down the right side of my vision, standing on the edge of the clearing. I dared not look right at it. Huh? I didn't know what it was. It almost looked like a man. I thought, hey, it's flashing around. Maybe it's something supernatural. And then, after what seemed like an eternity, the tiger stepped in the clearing.
Sometimes that's the last thing a person ever sees. We arrived in Nepal's Royal Bardia National Park the day after a tiger ate a woman it met in a forest. Tiger trackers from the Nepalese Park Service are in the forest now, trying to figure out whether the killing was a freak event or the work of a man-eater. We're waiting for the trackers at a guard station. Here they come now, riding four Asian elephants. Sushila Nepali of the World Wildlife Fund talks to a tracker who's holding the head of what used to be a very large spotted deer. Something big ate the rest of it.
Oh, they found the tigress, full adult, and she looks healthy.
A tired-looking elephant sticks its trunk into a bucket full of water and gives itself a shower. There's an unwritten rule in this part of Nepal that gives a tiger a second chance when it kills a human being, especially when that kill takes place inside a national park. But if the same tiger kills more people, or shows signs that it might, the animal is captured and shipped to a zoo or shot. When problems like these aren't dealt with swiftly, poachers who hunt tigers and rhinos and elephants get more help from locals. Poachers are a constant threat here. Uncontrolled, they could kill off every big animal in the lowlands of Nepal. We've heard a rumor that there are some hunters in the park now, and we've decided to go look for them.
We've been walking for about 15 minutes up a dry walk on the outskirts of the Royal Bardia National Park with the head of the anti-poaching unit from the Nepalese army. We're headed to an ambush point where a small portion of that army, about five guys, is waiting for poachers who are coming out of a place called the Baba Valley.
This is the main route they use. And that 38 poachers that we arrested last year, 9 were from this route.
Babu Karki, the major in charge, stops at the edge of a dusty hardwood forest. He says poachers want the skin and bones of tigers and the horns and skin of rhinos. The weapon they use is poison dumped in watering holes. Bullets do too much damage, he says.
It is widely used. For rhinos and tiger. Especially for tiger, they use poison because the shooting is bad because that spoils the skin and they don't get good money. $1 poison is enough to kill one tiger.
Camouflaged soldiers with semi-automatic rifles step out from behind the trees. They haven't seen anybody. Maybe someone who hates tigers has tipped off the poachers. Government anti-poaching teams will have a lot more ground to cover if the plan to rebuild Nepal's lowland forest corridors succeeds. Karki says his men can do it if they get local support. But local support must be earned, which is partly why the team that's looking for the killer tiger is back on their elephants inside the forest. We've caught up with them. The elephants are sliding down a long, bushy embankment. towards a small stream.
This is where the spotted deer was killed.
Sushila Nepali. The lead tracker kneels in the stream, staring at the tiger track, or pug mark. It's fresh, he's nervous. That's why the elephants are practically standing on top of him.
The elephants are there because it senses the smell faster than any other animal. It gives the warning sound if something is around. So when the elephants are around, they feel secure to work.
The pug mark is clean and even, which seems to confirm that this tiger is neither old nor lame. Old, lame tigers are the most likely man-eaters. This tiger may have seen the woman it killed through the trees and mistaken her for a different kind of animal. If that finding holds, this victim's family will be compensated, but the tiger will be left alone. Which is harsh, but fair. So says Pradesh Ushodari, a village elder who led us to the top of a wooden guard tower on the outskirts of a nearby village. They watch for tigers from up here.
We have a belief that if a tiger senses it is the last day of your life, then you will get killed. When you encounter a tiger face to face, the tiger will never attack you unless your time is finished.
From the tower, you can see that deep trenches and tall fences surround this village. They're designed to keep big wild animals out of people's backyards. And yet, beyond these barriers, a newly regrown forest links this village to the park that harbors the tigers and the rhinos and a few elephants. Our village elder says yes, of course there is a contradiction here. Tigers are both gods and killers. Forests are both kill zones and life support systems. Life falls apart when you cut most of the forest down. He says that's what happened a few years ago.
Even the birds were being killed, and when they would find a nest with the babies in it, they would chop down the whole tree just to take the nest. And they would kill any parrot that came into the area, and any hornbill that came into the area, and eat them up.
This man supports the plan to regrow the migratory corridor of forests and grasslands that used to link the lowland parks of Nepal. So does Chuck McDougall, the tiger expert at the Tiger Tops Lodge in Nepal's Royal Chitwan National Park. But let's be realistic, he says.
The situation in parks and reserves has improved. The situation outside parks and reserves has deteriorated simply because there are more people, there are more domestic livestock. They should have thought of this project 25, 30 years ago. Now, in some cases, it may be too late to connect these places. It's a good idea to try.
Socially, economically, and politically, Nepal is not a stable place. And yet, if there's any country in the world that can pull this kind of project off, this may be the one. Other places have lost their rhinos and their tigers and their grasslands and their forests. But in Nepal, they've saved the pieces. They just need to be reconnected. For Radio Expeditions, with engineer Bill McQuay and producer Peter Breslow, I'm John Nielsen, Royal Bardia National Park, Nepal.